In today's service, aired in 2018, you will hear Bill Edwards, president of CWH, share about the film Heart of a Shepherd, a remarkable story you can share with your family and friends. In today's message, Jonah and the Fish, Dad offers lessons for us on Jonah's life.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week has rolled by, and I just love the weekends because that's when we gather together, all around the world, and we worship the Lord, the people of God worshiping the Lord. And then in our services, I just know multitudes are coming to Jesus and coming, asking him to come into their heart and being born again. Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I know you like the sermon today because we're talking about Jonah and the big fish. And who doesn't like that story? But first of all, I want to share just a couple of three letters. And then we have a wonderful announcement from Bill today. So you stay with us and you'll be blessed every way, I'm sure. This letter comes from Alaska. And it comes from a town called Anoktujonk Pass in Alaska. And you're not going to believe this, but it is 110 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Can you believe that? And they worship with us. It's a little town of 350 people. And they don't have, the only way you can get there is by air or by a dog sled. I guess if you walked, you might make it, but I wouldn't want to walk that far up that cold. So anyway, we're just so happy that these folks are worshiping with us. And they wrote us a nice letter, and I want to share it with you. They write, "Dear Pastor Salem and crew, thank you for your continued Bible teaching. I've been listening to your audio broadcast since returning to this remote Alaskan Eskimo village in 2016. I try to learn from the Bible every day, but get so reinforced on Sundays. Then I take some verses and songs to the chapel in the mountain church." And isn't this chapel in the mountain church? Can't you just see how that beautiful little church there? And it says, "I go there to share with three or four other worshipers who attend. The man who served as our pastor passed away suddenly in December, but we continue to meet and gather around a table, reading God's word, singing hymns in English and also Inupiat, the native language of the Nunatak-Naani." I know I'm just killing this thing, and I hope I don't offend you. God bless you, but I'm coming as close as I can. And that's the people, they're singing their own language. And so they sing in English and also all the languages the Eskimos use. And then this person writes, "Keep us in your prayers, as many of the 350 people here are so lost in alcohol and drugs and sexual deviousness. Thank you, and may our Heavenly Father continue to bless his faithful servants at Christian Worship Hour in Jesus." And so I just want these dear friends to know that there are only three or four of them maybe to gather together. But when we worship like this, you're with the multitudes, you're with the millions of people, Christian people who love the Lord all over the world, and they'll be praying for you as we're preaching today and thinking about your little church there. And you're a part of the body of Christ just as much as in the mega church. So just stay true. I know you will, and God bless you for writing. Let me see. Here's Baton Rouge, Louisiana. "I respectfully request any literature you might send. Could you send me that and send it so that you can help me on my journey to be a better Christian?" And so what we're going to send is we have a little Bible study called The New Song. And this month, our study is Let Your Light Shine. And so we'll send that. And you can get that free and postpaid. It's a little Bible study. And so you get your pencil and paper at the end of the service. I'll tell you how you can find this little paper. One other letter that I need to read. I have to read and listen to this. Rogers, Minnesota. "I've been a quadriplegic paralyzed from the shoulders down for nearly 50 years, and each day gets me closer to doing a happy dance on the streets of gold. And here's a dear brother who loves the Lord, and he's been for 50 years, he's been paralyzed from the way, from his neck down. And yet here he is praising the Lord and talking about when he's going to dance together. And I wrote to this man, I think I emailed, I don't know what they did in the office there, but anyway, got word to them. I said, well, I use a walker, and I'll get rid of my walker, and we'll get together, and we'll have a dance together. And you know what he did? He sent back a little movie thing that shows some little people dancing around being happy. And I just thought, this man knows the Lord. This man loves the Lord. And though he may be handicapped, though he may have these troubles, he still loves Jesus, and he's not bitter. And that's, I just look forward to seeing him someday. Now, today, we're really happy to have Bill Edwards with us. And Bill is one of the board members of our Christian Worship Hour. And he has a special announcement that we'd like to have him share with you. God bless you, Bill.
Thank you, Pastor Salem. The most important decision you will make in your entire lifetime is where will you spend eternity? The Christian Worship Hour has produced a film, Heart of a Shepherd, that reveals the answer. This is an inspiring, heartwarming story of our own Pastor Salem. But most importantly, it will guide you, your family, and your friends to a glorious eternity. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available through the Christian Worship Hour. May our Lord bless you as you make life's most important decisions.
And God bless you, Bill. Thank you for coming and sharing that. And so we'll give the address at the close of the service. And I want to just add this. Please pray for this film, because the purpose of the film is to show the way of salvation and have people come to know the Lord. And it's a film that's made so that even the children can understand. Heart of a Shepherd, just pray hard, and so that God will use it to his honor and his glory. But now let's take a look here of Jonah and the giant fish. And whenever we talk about Jonah and the fish, everybody thinks about the fish. And that's the wrong thing to do, because the main character here is Jonah. And the fish is just kind of incidental. Jonah is a Jew. And God tells him he wants him to go to a Gentile city called Nineveh and preach so that they might be saved from and might repent and turn to the Lord. Now, the Jews and the Gentiles had nothing in common. They hated each other. That's one thing, a miracle about the church of today. When we come to Jesus Christ and we're born again, Jew and Gentile are together. But in the Old Testament, it wasn't like that. And so he has a problem. The last thing on the world is that Jonah wants is to see these people come to know the Lord. And so he doesn't want to go that way, and because he's afraid they might repent. So what is he going to do? And I'll tell you what he did. He took a ship, and instead of going to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction. That's exactly what he did. Instead of going east to Nineveh, Jonah is going to go west to Tarshish. And so he goes to a little port called Joppa, and he gets his ticket, and he heads straight west to Tarshish, away from Nineveh. And so then the Bible tells us he went out from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't get away from God, because God is everywhere. And in this story, God is all over the place. But what this means is he went away from the will of God. The will of God. He went from the will of God. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he absolutely refused to do it. And so he's going the other direction. He gets on ship, and they go on and head out, and he's heading west. And I want to tell you something, friends. You can always run away from God, but you can't run very far away, because he's going to be there, and you're going to meet him. You're going to meet him here. You're going to meet him there. You'll meet him in this world as a Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Or you meet in the other world as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, only judgment to come. So it's all settled when we die. We're with the Lord or not with the Lord. But before long, the little ship found itself in a violent storm. And these sailors are all Gentiles, and they don't know anything about Jehovah, the God of Israel. And so they know there must be has some terrible person on board. And who's to blame? And so nobody had to confess it, and so they cast lots. And wouldn't you know it, the lot fell on Jonah. And the men grabbed him and threw him overboard, the first thing they could do. But what do you know? God had prepared a huge fish. And as Jonah was cast overboard, the giant fish was there, and it happened as he had his big mouth open, and he gulped him down in one gulp. Jonah is taken in the one big gulp of that big sea monster, and he stays in the belly of that whale, that fish, that monster, for 3 days and three nights. Then God intervened again, and Jonah was sick of, and talks to Jonah. Jonah's sick of the fish, and the fish is sick of him. And Jonah's learned a lesson. He will listen to God. And so we read in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. The second time. And what did God have to say? Well, he had the same thing to say the second time as he did the first time. Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah learned his lesson. He did as God told him. He went to Nineveh, and he began preaching. And he preached for 3 days. He stood on street corners and preached the message of judgment from God. For 3 days, he preached, we're told in the Bible, to a populace which included 120,000 children who did not know their right hand from their left hand. That is, they didn't know a thing about the God of Israel, the God Jehovah. Not one thing. They were totally illiterate. And so you know what happened? The king of Nineveh listened. He heard, and he listened, and he repented. Even the king himself covered himself with sackcloth and ash and sat on an ash pile. And then the king sent word throughout the whole kingdom of Nineveh, the whole kingdom itself. And he said, repent, fast, turn to God, the God of the Israelis, the God of Israel, Jehovah God. And God heard, and God forgave the great city. And we praise God for that. So that's the story. Now, what does this story tell us? It tells us a lot of things. It tells us, first of all, that God has a plan for our life. Every one of us. And that is a twofold plan. The first fold or the first phase is we have to come to know Jesus as our Savior. Jesus called upon us, and he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so that first step, ever to know God's plan, you have to know God. And so you accept his Son as your Savior, and you do it so that a child can do it. I was 10 years old, and I prayed, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake him, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's 87 years ago. And he's been with me ever since. And if you haven't made that prayer, you could do that right now, just as I prayed. In your own words, you pray. That's the first phase. Now, after we've done that, then we are saved. We are a child of God. And then he shows us the more details for our life. And I can't tell you what the plan is for your life, but I can tell you this. It is very detailed, and it is very important. You are important to God. And you say, well, I've never been to seminary. As a matter of fact, I never graduated from the eighth grade. That doesn't make a bit of difference to God. God uses everyone that accepts him as his Savior. We're a part of his body. And so he helps us and leads us and guides us if we'll just listen to him and follow him. God had a plan for Jonah, and that was to go to Nineveh and preach repentance and revival. But Jonah didn't obey God. And so you don't have to obey God either. You don't have to if you don't want to. You see, we're all free moral agents. We don't have to receive Jesus if we don't want to. You can just stay in your sins and go into a Christless eternity. That's your choice. You don't have to receive Jesus. You don't have to love God. You don't have to worry about taking his name in vain. You just go right ahead. You can do anything you want to do. You can trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ. And God respects your will. So Jonah refuses to obey God. And he goes out from the presence of the Lord. That is, he leaves God's plan for his life. Jonah doesn't want to obey God. He goes west instead of east. He goes to a city called Joppa, takes ship, and goes off. And what do you know? When he wanted to get a go, he went to Joppa, and there was a boat for him. You know how come that boat was there? Devil had it there. Anytime you want to get away from God, anytime you want to disobey God, the devil will help you. He'll help you get away. That's what he did for Jonah. If you want to disobey God, why? Satan will be your best friend. If you want to don't want to serve God, Satan will find a way out for you. If you don't want to go to church on Sundays, Satan will get some excuses for you. He'll get not a reason. He'll get some excuses so you won't have to go. If you don't want to give God to tithe the 10%, then he'll go on this and he'll tell you, oh, it's in the Old Testament. It's legalistic. It doesn't count. He'll just do everything he can to fight God. Satan will help us every time he's on our side when we're not on God's side. If you want to live that separated life, you're going to help to see that the devil will say, oh, you don't want to be a goody two-shoes. And then works in such a way, he makes evil look good and good look evil. And if you want to disobey God, then he'll have a boat. Count on it. But God has a plan for you, and you shouldn't miss it. The second thing I want to point out is that God has all power. Some people have a problem with Jonah and the giant fish. By the way, the word here is costus, which means a giant sea monster. So it might not have been a whale. It might have been a special creation that God made. If he wanted to do that, he could do that. No problem. And so this special creation swallowed Jonah. Now, don't choke on that fact, because don't put limitations on God's power. Because a lot of times people say, I don't believe the Bible because I don't believe there's any fish could swallow a man or something like that. They always have some dumb reason. But when God is going and wants to do something, he can do it. So when you come to the Bible, don't try to explain away the miracles. If you're going to walk with this wonderful God, you're going to have to do it because you have to believe in miracles, because God has the power to do it. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the giant fish. And the only question I have about it is, was Jonah dead or alive? I have a feeling that Jonah died in that giant fish, and he was there until God tells the fish to deliver him, and he delivered the goods, and God raised him up, and he went on and preaching. You know what we're told in Matthew 12, verse 40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and he was dead. And Jonah could have been dead too. We all know that Jesus was dead, so why not Jonah? He could do that. Listen, if God could raise up Lazarus after 4 days, he could raise up Jonah after 3 days. But it really doesn't matter. Well, he's alive or dead. Who cares? Doesn't make a bit of difference. That's not the big thing. It's just something, you know, to fill in my sermon so I don't run out of time, if you can imagine that. I've got plenty of time. Either way, it's a miracle. He stayed alive. And the point we get out of that is, never underestimate the power of God. Just know that God is in control. And then another thing, and this is why one of the reasons I love to preach, and that is, God is a God of the second chance. The second chance. We see the mercy and grace of God when we hear him tell Jonah in Jonah 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came on Jonah the second time. Jonah disobeyed God, but God gave him a second chance. God is always doing that. He is so good. He is so kind, and he is so loving. He's always giving that second chance. David found that out. Oh, how he sinned in some terrible ways, but he repented. God gave him a second chance. Peter sinned in a terrible way. He cursed that he didn't even know Jesus Christ, never heard of him. And then he repented, and Jesus recommissioned him, said, go feed my sheep. And Peter served the Lord. He had a second chance. Served the Lord until he was put to death on the cross. Jesus has given me that chance over and over. Not just a second time, not just 100 times, but 1,000 times. How many times have I failed God? But when I repented, he always forgave me. And he tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and 1 John is written to Christians. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he'll forgive you every time. Never underestimate the grace of God. That God, that beautiful, beautiful Savior, he'll give you the second chance. And then I put down, God is not willing that any should perish. God asked Jonah a question. Should not I have pity on Nineveh? It was a lead pipe cinch that Jonah did had no pity for that Gentile city. Just the opposite. He wanted a city to see the city burn and all the people in it. But God asked this little prophet, this little Jewish prophet, should not I have pity on Nineveh? Let's not be too sharp with Jonah. Let's look at our own life and how are we with people. Are we really concerned about people? You know, Bill has just told us about a film we have. You know why we did that film? We wanted to see what your life was like. No, that's not it at all. We have this film, and it talks about coming to Jesus. And all over the world it can go, and it'll tell you how you can come to Jesus. And it is so beautiful because it is just to ask Jesus into your heart. But a lot of people don't know that. You tell them you must be born again. They'll say, how do you be born again? I don't see Nicodemus. He couldn't understand it, and he was a scholar, Nicodemus. Well, you're born again when you ask Jesus into your heart. And a child can do it. I was a child. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now. And she served Jesus all those years and serves him now. Don't tell me child can't come to Jesus. If he can love his mother, he can love his he can love the Heavenly Father. And love his parents, he can love Jesus. And so this wonderful message comes, and it's always the same. God tells us he wants us to come to him. And then I put down, God is always in control. Don't forget that. That just jumps out in this story. Jonah is running from the Lord. God sends a tempest, almost sinks a ship. God directs a lot so it falls on Jonah. God prepares a fish so it can swallow Jonah. God sends a giant fish at the precise time in the middle of the ocean, out there in the Mediterranean Sea, I guess it is. And it was the right place. And just as Jonah was thrown overboard, he opened his mouth. He had a hole. He made a hole in one right there. That's probably the first hole in one the golfer's ever made. First gulp. How did all of that happen? So God saves Jonah in that fish. He says that he talks to the fish. And I tell you, God is in charge of all of creation. All of creation, all of brute creation obeys him. If he tells a fish to be at a certain place, it is a certain fish with a coin so Peter can pay a price. Here he is, and he tells this monster, he says, I want you to go over there by on the shores of Nineveh, and I want you to burp up Jonah. And the fish did, I think, probably was glad to get rid of him. And there he is. And I've always wondered what Jonah looked like. If he had some of those gastric eatings on him, if he was yellow or some color from it. And I wonder if he smelled like a fish. What would he smell like? And he went through Nineveh, and for 3 days he stood on the street corners and preached. And then God does some other things as you read the story. He prepared a gourd to shelter Jonah. Then he sent a special worm to kill the gourd. Then he sent a hot wind to burn a little old Jonah and wake him up and get to him. And so God is there, and he's always there. And I know sometimes we wonder where God is. We wonder why does this happen? Why does that happen? But rest assured, God was directing the events in Jonah's life. He's directing the events in your life and my life. You just trust him and lean upon him. But you know, you can't have any of these things unless you have Jesus. Jesus says you must be born again. He says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become something they weren't. To them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God until you have Jesus. And you said, I want Jesus, but I don't know how to get him. And so in Revelation, Jesus tells us, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. I want to come into your life. I'm knocking at your door. And some of you right now, you say, well, I don't hear anything. Well, you maybe probably won't hear anything, but you just know. There's something saying, I need Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. And if you just ask him and you say, I don't know what words to say, just tell him you're a sinner. Promise you'll turn from your sins and ask him to take away your sins and tell him you'll serve him. Just your own words. I had a man the other day, he didn't know how to say amen. He said goodbye after he prayed. You can do that. Now, if you do that, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'd be happy to write to you. We'll send you the literature to get you started on the way. In the meantime, read the Gospel of John. Find a church where Christian people are gathering and start worshiping the Lord. If you'd like to have the new song, then you'll let us know that, and we'll send it free and postpaid. And one other thing, we have to have your help financially. We have to pay our way just like anybody else, and it's the gospel. We want to pay our way. We wouldn't want it any other way. But you need to help us, and so you can write to us, or you can send us over the email if you want to, christianworshiphour.com, and you can send a gift that way. We get money, we get gifts all the time. We get gifts that way, but we need your help. Now, I'm going to pray for you, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Vietnam. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes. We believe there are multitudes that are praying this prayer right now, receiving you into their life and becoming a child of God, and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we'll see them in heaven. We pray for the shut-ins, Lord. We pray for those who are lonely and weary. We pray for the young people who have such awful temptations, and we pray for the beautiful children that they'll come. And then we think of the persecuted church in Vietnam. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just praying that I know you'll help them and help us to be better Christians when we see how they live and they suffer. And we give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I want to give the address another time, especially for our people on shortwave, because you can't see the screen. Shortwave people love to hear from you. And it's a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we'd love to hear from you. And you can pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And always remember, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. We are all thinking about you and praying for you. We're praying that you come to Jesus, and we're praying then that he gives you strength to live that and joy, to live that vibrant Christian life that only Christ can give. He says, I'll give you a peace that the world can't take away. World can't give it, and they can't take it away. And that's the peace we have in God. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. We all are here loving you, praying for you, standing by. And you stand by us, and next weekend, we're going to be back. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.